If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Isaiah. And I encourage you to look in the Word of God as we try to read from Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. The Word of God here talks about how the ungodly suffer under God's fiery judgments. And I want to remind you that when we read about the fiery judgments of God, that usually the Bible is not talking about fire at the end of the time world for the unregenerate, but rather the fiery judgments of God are usually talking about the judgments that God sends on His children when they walk contrary to God's holy word. So there are fiery judgments that come to the lives of God's people. The Word of God here is going to be talking about the ungodly suffering under God's fiery judgments, and then it's going to be talking about the godly experiences and blessings that come to the people of God who serve God and obey God. A very clear distinction throughout the Word of God that shows that God blesses His obedient people in a very special way, and that God brings His chastening hand on His people when they walk contrary to God's Word. I'd like to read now from Isaiah chapter 33, beginning with verse 13, reading through verse 17. Before we begin to endeavor to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house. We're thankful for every person that's here this morning, every member and every friend that has come together to worship with us. And we ask You, Lord, to bless us all, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that without Thy Spirit, that we're nothing, we can accomplish nothing, we cannot worship Thee even in singing. We can't do anything to please Thee and honor Thee and glorify Thee except it be a work of faith and labor of love and except the Holy Spirit guide and direct and bless. So we come now to try to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that You would lead us into all truth of Thy holy Word. You would help us to be able to rightly divide Thy Word of truth and that You would help us to walk in the truth, to walk in the light as Thou art in the light, that we might have fellowship with Thee every day. Lord, we thank You again for Your holy word. Pray that You would help us as we study Thy word right now, that Your Holy Spirit would be manifest and that Thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Thank You again, Lord, for many that have been traveling, that are back home. We thank You for the safe trips that they've had. Thank You for those that have been sick, that are doing better. We continue to beg Thy blessings upon those that are traveling. Watch over and protect them. Bless those who are sick. We pray that You would lift them up and restore them to their health. Especially, we beg Thy blessings on Sister Laura. Pray, Lord, that You would relieve her of the pain and the discomfort, all the heartaches and problems that she's having right now. Just lift her up and plant her feet on heaven's tableland. Lift her up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray that You would give her the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Bless all the others, Lord, who stand in special need of Thy help. Bless each one. You know the needs of every person and every family that's here this morning. We pray that You would bless, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Be with all of Thy people the world over. Bless every minister to preach the Word of God, to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit, and to preach the truth. Bless us now. Teach us and instruct us from Thy holy Word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says, "Hear ye that are far off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressors, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. If correctly read, that's Isaiah chapter 33, verses 13 through 17. The main thought that's on my heart is not to concentrate on the negative or the trouble that comes to the ungodly, but rather the blessings that come to those that try to serve the Lord. And he describes a number of different things that those who are pleasing God, he describes the way that they live. And I would just ask you to examine your own life in the 15th verse. Every one of these phrases, see if you fit into this category. And if you don't, please pray that God will help you to fit into the category that's described in verse 15. Verse 15 talks about those that are walking rightly. He says, he that walketh righteously. That means in everything that you do, that you walk righteously. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. You know, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He that walketh righteously and he that speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. You know, that last expression is probably one of the most difficult things for the people of God to do, is to shut their eyes from looking at anything that's evil. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? There used to be a time that God's people would just get up and turn off the television and walk out of the room and refuse to ever look at the things that have become commonplace in our lives today. And our looking at things that are ungodly will lead to God's judgments in our lives. But if we'll ever begin to walk righteously and speak things that are uprightly, and do all the other things here, including shutting our eyes to anything that's evil, then he says in verse 16 some blessings that'll come. Look at verse 16. He shall dwell on high. This isn't talking about going to heaven when you die. This is talking about dwelling in the kingdom of heaven while you live here on this earth. These are talking about works and the blessings that come from the works and obedience. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. And that's what we're going to come back to in just a moment. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. That's the second thing. He says in verse, the third expression is, bread shall be given him. Now, the bread that shall be given him is not limited to give us this day our daily bread, the natural bread, but there will be the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, that you'll be able to partake of, spiritual food, bread shall be given him. And then the fourth expression in verse 16 says, his waters shall be sure. And then he says in verse 17, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Who is the king? Jesus Christ. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. What is that land that is very far off? At the time these words were written, what was that? The Canaan land, the kingdom of heaven. Now those are the blessings that come from doing what's described in verse 15. If you want to experience the judgments of God, the fiery judgments, they're described in the earlier passage. If you want to experience that, then you fail to do the things he describes in verse 15. But if you do what God says in verse 15, you experience the blessings that he describes in verses 16 and 17. Now, one of those blessings, the expression in verse 16 says, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Now, I want us to think about that this morning, that our place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Not rock, singular, though there is a main rock, there's a primary rock, there are many rocks. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. And we're going to be trying to study this morning about, first of all, the fact we need a place of defense. Did you know we need a place of defense? We need a place to hide. Now, I know that there are times when we go out and we wage battle and we fight Satan, but there are times that we need a cleft in the rock. And we just sang the song, "Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I." Why do we need a rock? Why do we need a cleft in the rock? Why do we sing, "Hide Thou Me"? Why do we sing, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee"? The reason that we need a cleft in the rock, the reason that we need a hiding place is because Satan sometimes wears us down and we need to run to the rock that is higher than I. Brethren, Satan is real and Satan is powerful. You remember what? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Peter realized how powerful Satan was? I don't think he did either. No. I don't think he did. And the reason that we know that he did not understand how powerful Satan was when Jesus began to talk about how all of them would deny him, Peter spoke up and said, "I'll never deny you. Though everybody else turns against you, I'll never deny you." You know what Peter did not understand? He did not understand how powerful Satan was, and he did not understand how weak he was. He thought he was stronger than he was. He minimized the power of the devil, and he maximized his own strength and power in his own flesh. You know what Jesus told Peter? He says, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Have you ever been sifted like wheat by Satan? Has Satan ever gotten hold of your life and sifted you as wheat? Well, that's what happened to Peter. You know what Peter needed to do whenever Satan began to get hold of him? You know what he needed to do? He needed to run to that rock that was higher than he was. He needed to realize in his thinking and his actions every day, he needed to realize he needs a rock that is higher than he is. I need a rock and you need a rock that's higher than we are, because without God, we cannot defeat the devil. Without God, we cannot resist the devil. Without God, Satan will destroy your life. Now, Jesus told Peter, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat," right? He did sift him as wheat. Now, later, Peter writes, and here's what Peter says. He says, "Be sober." Now, Peter knows firsthand all about the devil. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter writes and says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You know why Peter was able to write those words? I know it was the inspired Word of God, but Peter knew that he needed God's help. And he knew the power of the devil. And he says, "You better be sober, you better be vigilant, you better be careful, because Satan is as a what? A roaring lion, going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour." Brethren, you know why Isaiah penned those words? You know why the Word of God says that those that live right, they're going to have a defense. His defense shall be the what? You remember that in Isaiah 33? His defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Now, right there is what I want us to look at. You need a defense. You need a defense. And I want us to pray that God will help us to see and understand this morning that you will have a defense against the devil. You'll have a place to go to. You'll have power. You'll have victory over the devil if you realize that your defense is the munitions of rocks. Now, what I want you to do right now is I want you to picture, how many of you have ever been to Stone Mountain? Most of you have been to Stone Mountain. Now, that's a big rock, isn't it? You can see it from miles away as you begin to approach it on the expressway. You can see this huge mountain of a rock, one huge solid rock. And I want you to picture, if you will, I don't know of a cave in that mountain. I've walked up and down Stone Mountain a number of times. But listen, brethren, I want you to picture in Stone Mountain that huge rock, I want you to picture a cave in that rock. And I want you to know that sometimes you need to run to that rock that's higher than you are. Because that's what God has described in the Word of God. God is described as a great rock. He's described as the rock that is our hiding place. He's called and described as the rock of ages. He's described as the rock that is higher than I. And we need God as our rock. Now we're going to talk about the other rocks in a few minutes. But right now, the only thing I want you to concentrate on, the main thing you need to think about, is the primary rock of defense is what? What is your primary rock? Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now, His defense is the munitions of rocks, plural, but your number one rock is God, Jesus Christ. Now, go with me to Psalm 18. Back up in your Bible, please. I want you to, let's first look at this big rock. And we're going to look at the other rocks, and you need all the rocks. But God, the great rock, is the one who provides all the other rocks. But we need to understand the great rock, the primary rock, the rock where we dwell. Our defense is the munitions of rocks, and the great rock, the first rock, the primary rock, is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen now in Psalm 18. Listen, please, to verses 2, 3, and 4. Psalm 18, beginning in verse 2. The Word of God says, and listen, brethren, this is true in the Old and New Testament, that God was their rock. In all ages of the world, God has been the rock of His people. You will be amazed if you go home and just take your concordance and look through it all the different times the word rock is used, and you'll understand then why the Word of God says that our defense shall be the munitions of rocks, because there are many rocks, but there's one rock that's mentioned more than any other, and that's Jesus Christ. Psalm 18, verse 2, He says, "The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer." Listen, brethren, when Satan begins to tempt you, and you begin to yield to temptation, you know what you better do right then? You better run to the rock. Every time Satan begins to bring afflictions, and tribulation, and sickness, and problems in your life, you know what you better do? You better run to your defense. You better run to the munitions of rocks. You better run to the one that is the rock that is higher than we are. And so David says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust." Can you trust this rock? Can you trust this rock? Is there anything else that can break this rock? Are there any rocks even come close to being as big as this rock? None whatsoever. Brethren, when you're in the cleft of the rock, Satan cannot touch you. Cannot. It is impossible for him to touch you when you're in the cleft of the rock. You will not yield to temptation when you're in the cleft of the rock. Whenever you begin to be afflicted with troubles and problems and tribulations, you will never become discouraged because of those things if you're in the cleft of the rock. But if you get out of the cleft of the rock, you're going to be destroyed. You cannot stand it outside the cleft of the rock. Your defense is the munitions of rocks. And the primary rock is Jesus Christ. The rest of this verse says, "He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Listen to verse 3 very carefully. Verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now who's the number one enemy? Satan is. I want you all to understand and know that there are people that are being used by the devil that are your enemies. There are people in Washington, D.C. that are our enemies. There are people all over this world. There are people in our community, in our county. There are people that are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of God. And if they're enemies of God, they're enemies of anybody that tries to follow Jesus Christ. And you know what you need from that number one enemy, arch enemy? You need a cleft in the rock. You need a place of defense. But David says here, did David have a lot of enemies? Did he have human beings that were his enemies? Will you have human beings that are your enemies if you follow Jesus Christ? The Word of God says, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." Jesus says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Listen, brethren, the people of God will have enemies. They will have many enemies. Satan is our number one enemy, but there will be many other enemies, and you cannot withstand all those enemies. You can't fight against those giants unless you run to the cleft of the rock. Unless you run and depend on and trust in the rock who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He's bigger than Stone Mountain. You know, you talk about word pictures. Stone Mountain's not an adequate word picture of our God. It's impossible to describe how great Thou art. He is the great rock. Verse 4 says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Did David ever get afraid? You know what he said every time? Here's one thing he wrote down one time. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Sister Valerie, have you ever been afraid? Have you been more afraid in the past year than you've ever been in your life? You know who you've run to every time? A defense, the great defense. Run to God. You've been afraid, Brother Brian? All over this congregation, I can go across and all through this congregation. Listen, brethren, we've been afraid. We have enemies. The devil's our number one enemy. And every time you're afraid, you need to run to your defense. What does Isaiah 33:16 say is your defense? His defense shall be the munitions of rocks, plural. Come to Psalm 27, please. I just want to first emphasize the great rock. Because, brethren, if you don't see and understand the importance of the great rock, all these other rocks will be of no value to you. But if you can see the great rock, you can see the power of God, you'll understand that this great rock has made a lot of other rocks, the great rock. Out of this great rock, there are a lot of smaller rocks that God has given us for our defense. You know, up there at Stone Mountain, how many of you have ever been to the side where the engraving is up on the side of the mountain? How many of you have been right up to the foot of that and seen the huge rocks that where they worked to make that picture that's up there on the side of the mountain? They hewed out and they worked and drilled and they broke pieces of rock off the big rock. Did you know that? They're down at the foot of that. You can go down there and see them. There are rocks, huge boulders down right below that. Carving on the side of that mountain. You can get up and walk all over them. Big rocks. Munitions of rocks. But what do you see? Most of the time, what do you see? Just the big rock. Because all the other rocks that are your defense, they all come from the great rock. Now listen, in Psalm 27 verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Have you ever been hidden by God? You know, sometimes I hide myself in the rock. There's other times that God just comes and hides me. You know, Jesus says to the children of Israel, He says, how often I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen takes her little bitties and gathers her under His wings. Listen, brethren, there have been many times that God has hidden me. God has just put His protective hedge over me when I wasn't even seeking Him. And there have been the same thing in your life. There have been many times that you would have been destroyed if God had not come to you. This is the amazing thing about this great rock. He doesn't sit in one place and you always go to Him. This great rock comes to you more than you ever go to Him. He comes to you and He protects you and He guides you and He leads you. You remember that great rock that the children of Israel had in the wilderness? Remember that great rock? You remember how they drank water out of that rock, that living water? Another beautiful picture of this great rock, Jesus Christ. Psalm 27, verse 5, He says, in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to set you up on the rock. Now, I've been up on top of, many of you have been up on top of Stone Mountain. But listen, brethren, there's a better rock to stand on than Stone Mountain. That's when you're standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You personally, your business, your family, this church, we're all dependent on us being on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. This church cannot continue if God doesn't hold us up. If we depart from God's Word and God's way, God will remove Himself and we'll be on sinking sand. And the floods and the winds will come and the rains will come down and the wind will blow and our house will fall unless God is our foundation. That's true personally in families, in businesses, and in the church. We must be on that solid rock of Jesus Christ. Our defense is the munitions of rocks. Verse 6, listen to this now. He says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord." You know, when we come into the house of God, you know what we want to do? We want to sing praises to the Lord. You know why we want to worship God and sing praises? Because as I look back during this past week, I know there have been many times God has been my rock and He's been your rock. And we come into the house of God and we want to thank the Lord. And we want to sing, "Rock of ages, cleft from me." And we want to praise the Lord for being our rock. I'm glad I've got a defense. A sure defense. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Go to Psalm 31. You can go home and go through all the Scriptures that talk about God being our rock. But I just want you to please get a picture of God being your rock before we look at all these other munitions of rocks. In Psalm 31, listen please to verses 2 and 3. Psalm 31, verse 2. The Word of God says, "Bow down thine ear unto me." Who's speaking right here? David. David is crying unto God and says to God, "Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my..." What? "Be thou my strong rock." Now, he is a strong rock. But we need to pray like David did, "God, be my strong rock. Be my rock." I need to acknowledge that He is my rock. And I need to acknowledge I need Him as my rock. And David did that when he says, "Be thou my strong rock, for an house..." Ooh, well, look at the wording here. He must have known Isaiah. Because Isaiah said, and he didn't really know him personally, but they speak the same words. The same truth is here as is in Isaiah 33:16, when the Word of God says that our defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Here's what David says now. He says, "God is my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me." God is my house of defense. Isn't that good? Have a house in the rock. That's better than a cleft in the rock. It's described both ways in the Word of God. He says, "I have a house of defense. I have a dwelling place. I have a house that cannot fall." He says, "an house of defense to save me." Is he talking about eternal salvation? You might could stretch it and see that, but listen, brethren, that's not the main thing David's talking about. David knew that the people of God have a lot of trouble in this world. "Now I thank God above everything else for saving me eternally. That's the most important and wonderful thing in all the world. But while I live in this world, I need God to save me day by day." The Word of God says, "Show forth His salvation day by day." Day by day, God is saving me, delivering me. He didn't just save me to eternal heaven. He saves me from destruction day by day in my life. The only reason you're alive today is because your rock of defense has watched over you. Even when you're asleep, your rock of defense is watching over you. The death angel would have come to your house last night had the rock of defense not watched over your household. Every day you get up, I beg you, I encourage you in the name of Christ, thank God that you and your family have lived through another night. Thank God that you have this defense, this rock of defense, a house of defense to save me. And then he says in verse 3, "For thou art my rock." See, he just keeps on. Verse after verse, he just keeps saying, "God is my rock. God is my rock." Go to one other scripture in Psalms. Turn to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Listen carefully to what the Word of God says. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 61, verse 1. The Word of God says, and this is again David crying to God. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, as big as this rock is, as wonderful, as mighty, as majestic as this block rock is, you can't find the rock unless He'll lead you to the rock. Did you know that? The rock can be right there. You know how the children of Israel just wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, anybody with one eye and half sense knows you could have found the land of Canaan if God hadn't blinded their eyes. They just wandered in the wilderness. And there are a lot of God's children that God will not lead them to the rock that is higher than they are. He leaves them out there in the wilderness because of their rebellion against God. And so David is crying out right here, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Every day, brethren, we need to pray, God, lead me. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to that house of defense. Lead me to the, what's the text say in Isaiah 33:16? His defense shall be the what? The munitions of rocks. The munitions of rocks. I think, brethren, for the sake of time and because I don't want to cut it short, I want you to see all the munitions of rocks. I don't want you to just see the great rock. I want you to see that. But tonight I want us to pray that God will help us to look not just as the great rock, at the great rock, but there are, what does the Word of God say? Munitions. What picture do you get in your mind when you think about munitions of rocks? Somebody, Brother Donald, what do you picture when you hear that expression, munitions of rocks? What do you picture? Okay. Munition, I think of, like Brother Donald said, that's what you use to fight a war with. That's what you use to battle with. And there are munitions of rocks. Now, there's this great rock. In no way am I minimizing that. But I also want to maximize what God's Word teaches about the munitions of rocks that God, the great rock, has given us. And all these rocks come from the great rock, but there are munitions of rocks that we have as a defense. May God help us and teach us and instruct us that we need a place of defense in the munitions of rocks, is my prayer for Christ's sake.